Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Sadhu Prishtam, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Mahabhaga, you are a greatly fortunate personality. Tvaya, by you. Bhagavata Uttama, O best of the devotees. Yat, because Nutanayasi, you are making newer and newer. Ishasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shinvanapi, although you are continuously hearing. Katam, the pastimes. Muhu, again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have acquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Please repeat. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Purport. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam nava navaya namanam. Even though advanced devotees continually hear about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and newer, fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. The word santak is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yam shaima sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamahang bhajami. Brahma Samhita 5:38. Pariksha Maharaj therefore is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very advanced in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Sri Shuku Vacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavatottama Yan Nutanaya Shishasya Shrinvanapi Katamuhu. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have acquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tenamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Bhircharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadhyade Siddharane. So this is certainly one of the objectives of performing devotional service, to actually get a taste of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shushusha Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevanat. So Shushusha Shadadanasya. So, su means nicely, and shushusho means to hear, but not with the idea of just to listen, but to actually hear with the idea of following the message, doing something practical. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshantite gyanam gyanenas tatvadarshanaha. That if we want to learn the truth, we have to approach someone who knows the truth. And then there is a process of submission, service, and inquiries. Unless the person is submissive, they can't really hear anything. Hearing is more than just being present and having the sound vibration present. It means to actually become receptive to the sound vibration. Otherwise, we don't really hear it. We may think we're hearing something, but actually we're not hearing. We're only partially hearing, if at all, if we're even listening. So, first quality is to become submissive. So it is not so easy to be submissive to the conditioned soul, because our false ego is more or less influencing us with the idea that we are something special. And the philosophy is that we're not something special. So it's a battle between our false ego and our willingness to become, to get rid of our false ego. But because we're attached to our false ego, therefore to hear is not so easy. Most people are not even conscious how much they're attached to their false ego and how much the sound vibration might actually eliminate our false ego to different degrees. To become submissive also means that not only we give up our false conception, partly I may agree that I'm actually not the supreme controller, but it even gets down to the fact whether I'm a controller at all or whether I'm actually going to be able to at all enjoy the material energy. And even if I can enjoy the material energy, whether I can actually help anyone else enjoy the material energy. I'm actually the benefactor of others. Therefore, to actually be submissive is a whole science within itself. But without cultivating submission, then there is no question of actually entering to the mysteries of the sound vibration, of actually hearing the sound vibration properly. And without hearing the sound vibration, we can't actually realize the truth, because the truth is contained within the sound vibrations. Therefore, there's a process of not only submission, which is only the beginning, and then there is inquiry. Inquiry about who we actually are. If we're submissive, at least we're beginning to admit we're not who we think we are or who we want to be. But even putting that aside, our false ego, the question is who we really are. So that in itself is a whole other aspect of devotional service, to find out, even if my conceptions are wrong, what is the real conception? And to realize any of this, one has to render service. Therefore, su means nicely, and shu shu sho means with the idea of not only hearing, but nicely, but with the idea of actually applying it practically within our lives, which is part of the process of surrender. At every step, there has to be surrender. Yesham antikatam papam janana punya karmanam tedvanva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Surrendering what? Surrendering our attachment and aversion. One who's irreligious, irregulated, there is no question of attachment and aversion. One simply follows one's attachment and aversions without any standard to decide whether this is good or bad. Our criteria, our authority, is our attachment and our aversions. And we pick and choose our leaders according to what our attachment and what their attachments and aversions are. Therefore, for those in the Mahajano Yena Katasa Panda, therefore, for those in the mode of ignorance, they simply choose as leaders bigger personalities who have bigger attachments and aversions to the same things that they have. Svavit purahostra karaya samstuta purusha parshu. So the little animals, they're simply glorifying the bigger animals, either in the modes of ignorance or in passion or in goodness. In any case, their authority is really their own senses, and they're striving to become to the level of other persons just like them who have achieved a higher level of seemingly sense gratification than they have. But their aim is ultimately simply to gratify their senses. Anda yatandira upigayamase te pishatandra urudami vada, or adanta gobir vishitam tamizram punat punas charvita charvanana. They've made a vow to stay in material existence and to serve their dictation of their senses without any restriction, no matter where it leads them, even if it leads them to the darkest regions of existence. Therefore, one has to hear from the right authority, and then that the beginning of that is to regulate one's attachment and aversion according to religious principles. Therefore, one has to restrict sinful activity, and then as one is able to see the negativity in performing sinful activity, gradually acquires something more positive, namely pious activity, where one can not only avoid the problems that come along with serving unbridled lust, anger, and greed, but one can also, by further regulation, achieve higher states of awareness, of consciousness, maybe in the modes of passion, and some glimpse into goodness, pious activities, elevation to heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. This is what people think is the aim of religious life in general. But by such activities, one can gradually conquer the dualities of material existence, desire and hate, happiness and distress. One can learn tolerance, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, which is a step away from spiritual awareness. Because as long as we're caught up in the drama of our material circumstances, then it's very hard to hear about the spiritual existence in a very sincere way. Because one is simply caught up in the drama, how is my body and mind doing today, and what will it be doing tomorrow? Therefore, one doesn't really take very seriously one's position as a spiritual being or the supreme spiritual person. We're caught up in the insignificant, ever-changing modes of material nature and material circumstances that we're faced with. Therefore, one has to learn tolerance, the pasva, in the face of an ever-changing world of duality. Then one can actually rise up to the position of or one can actually accept devotional service. That's the Madhyama Adhikari platform, the Brahma-Bhuta platform, where there is actually varna-dasa. One is actually accepting the fact that we're spiritual souls, and one has to become aloof to a large extent from the other changing dualities, and instead one should concentrate on one's service, such as the chanting of the holy name, and not worry so much about exactly what our material circumstances are today or have been or what will they be in the future. Simply more interested in where ourselves as spiritual souls will be situated in the future or in the present especially. Then one can actually hear with some attention. And if one hears with some attention, one can gain knowledge and rise up to the platform of actually understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and truth. One can actually understand things more clearly, and then one can meditate in trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, shushusha shradhanasya. Shradhanasya means we hear and then we learn how to perform our service with care and attention. Because unless we do our service very carefully and attentively in order to please Krishna, then there's a certain lack of devotion, care and attention. Or as Krishna says, we get together amongst the devotees and we hear and chant about the glories of Krishna consciousness, and that results in performing service with less interruption or undeviated service with enthusiasm. Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamupiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So constant devotion, undeviation, without deviation, with priti purvakam, with enthusiasm, or care and attention. Care means with enthusiasm, trying to do something nice for Krishna. And attention means not wavering to other subject matters, but actually focusing on what we're actually doing. Therefore, we practice, for instance, chanting Gayatri, those who are second initiation, so we can actually focus the mind on the subject matter, namely just chanting Gayatri, without thinking of any other subject matter. So by doing so, by learning how to concentrate the mind, then hopefully we can concentrate the mind on whatever we're doing, whatever our service is. And especially the hearing and chanting about Krishna, the holy names, or worshiping the deities. I do everything very nicely for Krishna. Then Krishna says, Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. With such care and attention, then Krishna gives us more and more intelligence by which we're able to understand him. And when we perform our service in Krishna consciousness, understanding what Krishna wants and how to please him, then the result is tesham eva nukam paratam ahama jnana jam dhamaha na shamyam yatma bhavashto jnana dipena bhashvata. To those who are constantly to show them special mercy, compassion, I within the heart destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So we can't demand that Krishna appears before us, that we become Krishna conscious. But if we follow Krishna's instructions and his representatives' instructions, and we try to do it with not only externally, just as a matter of duty, but try to do it with care and attention, with enthusiasm, and do it, which means do it very carefully at least, and try to not be deviated to other topics and other activities, then the result is that Krishna will give us more and more intelligence so that we can do our service better and better. And the better we do our service, the more consistently we do it, then the more Krishna reveals himself to us. Then there is, eventually one is able to hear and chant without any deviation. One is able to hear and actually hear Krishna's holy name and learn how to chant very nicely with some feeling the holy name. And then one was able to feel Krishna's presence in the holy name. And of course, Krishna is Rasaraj. He is all mellow. He is unlimited pleasure. So one is able to begin to feel Krishna, one will feel pleasure. And that pleasure, as it says here, is ever fresh. Purno nitya nityukto vinatvam nama namino. That Krishna's name, Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purano Shudo Nitya Mukto Binatva Tvam Nami Namino. That Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. So if we chant with attention and with feeling, with devotion, with respect at least, then the result is that we're able to feel Krishna's presence and feel the happiness, that some of the happiness that Krishna is feeling. And that's the beginning of ruchi, which is all within the scope of Madhyama Adhikari, but it's the beginning of, Madhyama Adhikari is the beginning of liberation beyond the material concerns that bother us all the time, all centered around either our personal body or other people's material circumstances. One is able to become liberated from such concerns and actually focus one's attention on the concerns of spiritual life and experiencing Krishna consciousness. And then, as the mind becomes purified by such activities, and one becomes encouraged to focus still further, then one comes to the stage of sakti, that the happiness is so great that Even if the mind deviates for a moment from the topics of Krishna consciousness, then immediately the mind withdraws itself back to Krishna consciousness. So these stages are all there. And it goes on, of course, further till one reaches the stage of bhava and prema, which is the actual beginning of real spiritual life. Because spiritual life begins at the stage of Madhyama Adhikari, the very beginning of spiritual life. But spiritual life really begins the stage of bhava and prema, where one is able to directly experience Krishna. One is able to hear the stage of bhava. One is able to sometimes hear Krishna's flute, or even Krishna may come and touch one sometimes. Or at the stage of prema, then one may have direct darshana of Krishna. In any case, the qualities of devotional service, whether they're subhada or kleshagni, the first two stages, where one gradually acquires good qualities and freedom from the distresses of sinful activities, that goes all the way up to anartha nivritti. So as anartha nivritti, as we become purified by chanting the holy name, giving up our anarthas especially the offenses against chanting the holy name, then the result is when one comes to a platform of, say, taranga rangini, one acquires the beginning of good qualities due to association with Krishna. One becomes a better instrument for Krishna, and the good qualities that Krishna has becomes manifested in our activities. Of course, the soul is always has the same qualities lying dormant, but when he surrenders to Krishna, the visible activities of the body in which he's riding in, they visibly become more under Krishna's control, and Krishna is able to control them more, and therefore, since Krishna is all good, that which is directly controlling is also good. If the puppeteer is a good person, he's putting on a good play, so his puppets, if they're under his control, also do good things too. Then on the other stages, moksha lagu krit, which is more or less the stage of bhava, and that is rarely achieved. So somehow or another, this is the, for instance, the klesha agni, or shubhada. It gives one all good qualities, and gives one higher happiness than one is able to experience through sense gratification. But moksha lagu krit means that even the stage of freedom from all material misery seems insignificant compared to the happiness one experiences, beginning with ruchi, and because more or less the stage of nishya is a stage of liberation from material anxiety and problems. One sees that actually the problems that my body and mind have are not my problems. There are certainly problems, but they're not my problems because I'm not the body and the mind. Therefore, my problem is that I'm not Krishna conscious. So at the stage of nishya, one realizes that's my problem, is that I have to become Krishna conscious, and one focuses on that problem. Although he may not completely neglect the material problems externally for his body or other people's bodies, but he realizes that ultimately these things are, if we're going to solve these problems, it's only to help to solve my real problem, which is the fact that I'm not Krishna conscious. So I may work on these problems inasmuch as they may help me become more Krishna conscious. But at the stage of ruchi, then one is not even very much concerned with the external problems because the holy name is so nice that one doesn't really think he needs so many material assets, if any at all. He just needs to chant the holy name because it gives pleasure, which is basically what everyone is looking for. In the material world, is we're trying to seek pleasure through the material energy and avoid distress, which is another way of trying to find pleasure. Because material existence more or less means our happiness here is an absence of distress. But if one is able to find real pleasure, then one is not so much concerned with looking for pleasure elsewhere. And at the stage of asakti, when one is able to remember Krishna's pastimes and feel actually Krishna's presence in those activities, along with his associates, the loving exchanges, then material existence starts seems pretty insignificant. And at the stage of bhava, it becomes just like a shadow, like a dream. Now we're thinking that spiritual life is theoretical and perhaps it's just like a dream to us. But at the stage of bhava, material life seems just like a dream, and then one's actual life is in Krishna consciousness. And bhava is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. So at the stage of prema, there is no more material existence. Everything is seen in relation to Krishna. Everything is seen as Krishna's pastime. Everything is seen as part of one's spiritual activity. Everything becomes Krishnaized or spiritualized. And at that stage, then the happiness one experiences is unlimited happiness. I forget what the Sanskrit name is. And then there is the Krishna Karshini, and there is Adini. Intense spiritual happiness, so that one is not able to even understand what material life is anymore, because the happiness is so great. One is not even conscious of material existence as we perceive it. One may see things going on, but not in the same way that we see it. One sees it only in relation to Krishna. In any case, words may not be at either the stage where devotional service is so nice that we're not even attracted to it. It's a happiness above our material desires and our material conceptions of life. Namely, to get free from our anxieties and find something peaceful here, something enjoyable. But even if we're not, still if one practices sadhana bhakti, then one will be able to get some kind of experience that will keep one above fruitlessly and endlessly pursuing sense gratification just for the sake of having sense gratification. One will see the uselessness of such activities because they never satisfy one, nor do they actually give one relief from the distresses of material existence. So one will, hopefully by performing sadhana bhakti regularly, try to make some improvement and learn the process of making improvement, because we just don't make improvement just by spontaneously, accidentally. We do it, according to that verse, by hearing and seeing the examples of superior devotees and try to apply their example and their instructions within our life. That way we gradually come to the platform of making some advancement, whether we call the advancement from Shraddha to Prema or from the six different stages, qualities of devotional service, or as it's defined in so many different verses, they're all analyzing to us gradually the step from material attachment to material detachment to spiritual attachment to spiritual absorption to spiritual perfection. So here it just meant it's trying to encourage us, nityanam namanyavana, that there is a stage where hearing and chanting with Krishna becomes so nice that one is able to become completely satisfied just by doing it. And Pariksha Maharaj sets the example that he was hearing and chanting about Krishna for 7 days and nights along with Shukadeva Goswami and all the other so many thousands of sages that were assembled there. And they were not even eating or sleeping for 7 days or night. And it's not that they were just waiting for the 7 days to break their fast. But they were in ecstasy. They were experiencing such happiness. Time, they weren't even perceiving material time. They were on a different platform of existence. So we can't imitate that, but we can try to appreciate it and therefore become inspired to at least do our hearing and chanting a little bit better, knowing that if we do, then what lies to us as we make improvement, what awaits us as we make improvement, is that one day we'll be able to understand something of the wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj, so as you described the stage of devotional service, really one comes to the platform of real devotional service once one's past the material attachment and actually becomes attached to Krishna. So like you were saying, like Nishtana, that's the beginning. So then in the lower stages, it seems like, you know, like although we're encouraged to try to follow example, it seems like that is then in the realm of pious activities.
Hopefully.
But then is also...
Kriya punya punya. Yeah, I mean, if we're performing devotional service, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Shrayan, Shravya, Jagna, Jnana, Jagna, Parantapa, Sarvam Karma Kilam Partha, Jnana, Paris, Tamapyate. The sacrifice of knowledge is greater than the sacrifice of work. Because after all, O son of Kunti, the sacrifice of work culminates in transcendental knowledge. So just, unless we're actually on the Brahma-Bhuta's platform, that means we're hankering and lamenting. We don't really see all living entities on the same spiritual platform, nor are we doing our service simply joyfully to please Krishna. Therefore, it's called karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti or some kind of mishra bhakti. Therefore, it's in the realm of the material existence. Material neophyte activities are still within the realm of the material existence. They're mixed. The aim for a pure devotee, a neophyte devotee may be a pure devotee, his aim is to please Krishna, but not 100%. If he's following the instructions of superior devotees, his activities could be on the liberated platform, but his consciousness may not be on the liberated platform. Therefore, he gets the results of both, following the instructions of the authorized devotees, and also where his consciousness is at while he's performing them. But at least anyone who does service to Krishna, Prabhupada says, the very least that will happen to us, or the best that will happen to us, is we'll get another opportunity. If we don't become perfect in this life, to come back and make further progress in some future life. Therefore, ataiva yoginam eva, kule bhavati dhimatam, etadi duralabhatram, loke janmad ididvisham. A person is further advanced, he takes birth in a family of devotees, or yogis, who are verily great in wisdom. Verily such a birth is rare in this world. So we could finish our business up in this lifetime if we were sincere and serious, but that may take some time to develop that sincerity and seriousness. In any case, we'll get one chance after another as long as we keep on the path. And eventually we'll come to the higher stages, which devotional service becomes spontaneous. Because it's only after the stage of nishta that devotional service actually becomes really attractive, constantly attractive. Not just once in a while we get a little mercy from Krishna, some ecstasy, some bliss, some realization, but it becomes steadily attractive. Then it becomes spontaneous because it's always attractive. Therefore, we're always anxious to do devotional service because it's giving us constant pleasure. But until that point, then we have to work at it.
And if we were not be able to attain that perfection, you'd come back here?
To Dallas? I don't know.
No, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but... but come back to this material world?
You can come back to some world. Just some opportunity to render service to Krishna will be there. I don't know how Krishna has organized the universes, you know, that we've been pegged to be part of this Brahma's universe forever. I kind of doubt it. Because everyone seems to get merged back into Mahavishnu at the end of the annihilation. I think which universe we go to is more or less up to him, how he sees it. He's the big organizer. But we go somewhere where we get devotee association, the opportunity to render service.
Maharaj, in describing the advancement to the stage where, you know, we are actually doing things constantly, in absorption like that, because we feel pleasure all the time. We hear about the pastimes of the gopis where they didn't even care. Seems like they abandoned even their happiness. They would do things in a way that would sound to someone like me as very unusual, you know, that they would wear their dress the wrong way around and things like that, because they're so absorbed in Krishna's pleasure. My question is that there's a difference, obviously, between those two, right? The absorption that we feel here and the way the gopis feel in terms of their happiness, the happiness of the pleasure of Krishna in their service. What is that difference? I was trying to figure out. In the pleasure, the two pleasures, the pleasure of the one who is absorbed here, but they were doing it because we're feeling pleased.
No, we're absorbed here when we're experiencing Krishna. Krishna and his relationship with his devotees. Once we develop a service attitude, then we can appreciate other people's, other devotees' service attitude too. And when we're able to actually feel the mood of service, then that's the happiness we feel. So it's exactly the same what the gopi is experiencing, but it's just a different degree of intensity.
Okay, the difference is in intensity then.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, that's described. Even at the stage of prema, there is different degrees of intensity, which is described like the difference between sugar cane and then sugar and then making molasses and rock candy, etc. So the difference, prema is, which is the sunlight. Bhava is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. And then from prema we have sneha, pranaya, mana, bhava, raga, anuraga, bhava, mahabhava. So the gopis are in such an intense level of devotional service, it's inconceivable to us.
And those high levels of prema, once we go back to the spiritual, keep developing to high and high levels? Or no, once you're in one level, you're just in that level forever?
Well, there's one level of mahabhava that Srimati Radharani is at, but it's always getting more intense. It's eternally. It's always developing. Krishna's happiness is always developing too. There's no end to it.
And that's the same for everybody who's there in the spiritual world, I guess.
One's sitting around thinking it's the same old tune.
Right.
No, it's always getting better.
Okay.
And here things aren't going anywhere. Well, Kali Yuga, they're always getting worse. And they will get worse. As long as people engage in more sinful activities, then the reactions of the material nature will get stronger. Yes.
Thank you for the very nice class, Maharaj. And all these days, we have been blessed by your nice classes. I had a question, Maharaj. You were saying like how when one, like in our ISKCON movement, we have so many exalted devotees, and for the purpose of pushing the movement, they have to do so many things, which to a mundane person might seem materialistic. Now, if someone asks this question, how do we answer? Like, you're saying these devotees are so exalted, but why are they doing what they're doing to push the movement? Like, how do we answer?
What are you
such?
Referring to?
Like, say, for the purpose of pushing the movement forward, we may have to do so many, deal with the material energy. Like,
such as? I don't.
Like maybe, say we have a nice parking lot coming up, so we have to go to the
Otherwise,
city.
Otherwise, if there's no parking lot, how will people come and see Radha Kala Chandra? They'll float in on their wings? What could be the objection to making a parking lot? Otherwise, how are people going to be able to park? What do they think? What is the objection?
Like, they may say, okay...
Who's they, by the way?
People, so-called religious organizations who say, oh, no, you're getting into...
You mean they don't have parking lots in their churches?
Like, sometimes when we go to distribute books, like, we get to meet some people who are like from various backgrounds. So they may say, okay, when we say this is the highest philosophy, so they may question us in such a way that, so I was thinking.
Well, you have to read Bhagavad Gita. We tell people that you're not your body. Your body's changing, but you're not changing. So what is their response to that? That you're a spiritual being. They can understand that?
Sometimes, yes, but sometimes...
If they can't understand that, then there's no sense of going any further. They won't understand anything else we're doing. If they don't understand that we're spiritual, that there's a supreme spiritual person that we're serving, then what will they understand about what we're doing? No sense going any further. If you went up to some horse and you tried to explain what we're doing, what will he reply? He won't understand anything. Because he can't understand the difference between matter and spirit.
Ultimately, in pushing forward our mission, why would anything be considered spirit material if it is for the pleasure of Krishna? It's actually spiritual activity. It's not material anyway.
Yeah, well, most people don't believe in Krishna. Therefore, they can't understand what we're... They don't even believe in the spirit, in the soul. Therefore, they can't understand what we're doing. They'll object to whatever we're doing. Because they think we should be doing everything for them. That's their basic complaint, is that we're not serving them. And until you ask, if you come to the point of serving them, then they'll complain you're not doing it nice enough. It's always been nice being here. So we look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, we want to thank you too, Maharaj, for coming here. Please come here as often as you can. It's always a great pleasure having you over here. Your brilliant classes and all the seminars that you do and visiting with the devotees and blessing us by being our well-wisher, our ever-well-wisher. Thank you very much.
Maharaj. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Hare Krishna.
Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande
Jai, Srila Prahlada Nanda Swami Maharaj Ki Jai,
Dinanda Puru Ki.